Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media feeds, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I hope you missed us, because we've missed you. It's only been 12 hours, and for the third time in 24 hours, we say good evening and hello to everybody. So nice to see so many of you in the chat room, of course, on this Saturday evening. The Winnipeg Jets, their three-game winning streak snapped at the hands of the Calgary Flames. A 4-2 defeat tonight for the Winnipeg Jets. It was 2-2 after 40 minutes, the third period. That is going to be one that haunts Laurent Brossoit for a while. Two bad goals. Those are both the goals that are the deciding factor in tonight's contest. Calgary 4, Winnipeg 2, and that is the final score. Gentlemen, nice to see you both. You are looking resplendent as ever. How were your Passover Seders, first of all?
Yeah, they were good. We just had a small one at my mother-in-law's house, but I don't know necessarily if people want to hear about that. But it was.
I was asking. You're saying everybody's not interested in that?
Yeah, exactly. And the kids had a good time, but that game tonight, boys. Obviously, second game of a back-to-back. We thought it was going to be a little bit sleepy, but we talked about the Calgary Flames and how desperate they were going to need to be. And they were in that first period, right? Give Johnny Gaudreau credit, right? Like, we heard Daryl Sutter basically call him out, in his 500th career game. We all heard, him say that, hopefully he's better than in his 499th game, right? So, Johnny Gaudreau picks up an assist there on Mark Giordano's power play goal. And obviously, the Jets had a pushback and they tied the game up. But you're right, Drew. I mean, Laurent Brossoit, he's been great all year long, and we're not going to throw him under the bus. We saw the game. We know those goals. Mangiapane's go-ahead goal, which turned out to be the winner, obviously. And then obviously Sam Bennett's goal, guys. That's an honest mistake. And you could see instantly, Dave, Laurent Brossoit knew that what happened. So, nobody has to come over and say anything to him. It's not like Wade Flaherty's going to, tell him what he did wrong there. It's a fluke. Laurent Brossoit is a really good goalie, but, give the Flames credit. You talked about, the Jets coming in having won three in a row. The Flames had lost four in a row, and they scored more goals tonight than they had in the previous three games. And the Jets had their chances, guys. Like, Kyle Connor had a great chance, Pierre-Luc Dubois on that 2-on-1. And then they had another chance when the Jets had the empty net to make it a one-goal deficit. So, the Jets had their chances. The Flames definitely had more shots, but we talked about that on this morning show. The Flames are the type of team, they throw everything on net. A lot of those shots were from the outside, as opposed to being, those high danger chances. But overall, they probably deserve to win the game. Tucker Pullman hits a post. Sometimes that's the way hockey works. You just don't get those bounces.
And again, to Ezzy's point, this is a Flames team that came out and looked desperate in that first period. They, it's kind of like one of the almost wanted to reverse things, because it looked like the Jets were wearing red and the Flames were bulls, because they were everything with the Jets jersey they were hitting. And then they were laying the body, and they were they played like a pissed off team. They played like a team that needed to – they probably the games that they've needed to play for the last two or three, they finally played tonight, at least in the first period. Started the second, you see Mason Appleton score 34 seconds in. You're thinking to yourself, okay, well, now you've got something. And then Logan Stanley gets his first goal, fortuitous timing for us, based on Pascal Vincent's comments on our show 13 hours ago. But, it's one of those nights. And then the third period starts, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, again, the teams look tired. And, the Jets are off tomorrow. And it's funny, because Murat was saying it, talking about that idea of load management and fresh legs. And we had said, how many times have we talked about this, guys? This idea of, why do you have a taxi squad? I get that your roster has been, it's a tight walk, tight rope to walk, right? You've got a team that's winning. You've played the same group of players for the last nine games, and you've won three games in a row. So you're feeling good with this group. But again, to me, you've got guys who could use a rest. But the problem was, the whole team looked like they could use a rest. So I'm not sure Jansen Harkins would have been sufficient to cover all the guys who looked like they were wiped out tonight. I can't even just pick one person and say, well, that person could have gone out and pulled Harkins in, because there were so many guys on this roster tonight looked tired and looked wiped out.
Yeah, and the and you know, this was mentioned on the broadcast, guys, like, you know, the two power plays that the Jets got, like, it was Mangiapane who took the, that was a dirty cross check on Scheifele, but obviously, you know, there was a missed high stick earlier, you know, that Mangiapane took a stick from Scheifele, and then Lucic, you know, took the other penalty. The Jets obviously didn't score any goals on those power plays, but they had some good chances, right, Dave? So I agree with you. It was a sleepier first period, which you would come to expect from both teams, but obviously Calgary's the more desperate team. And then the Jets, you know, obviously in the second period, that as we talked about, that was their push and that was their best period. The third period was not a very good period for the Jets. And again, even though, you know, Lauren Brossoit, you know, what wasn't his best tonight, the entire Jets team wasn't. And, you know, to your point, Dave, about, you know, bringing somebody in from the taxi squad, whether that's Jansen Harkins or somebody else, look what the Flames did, right? Like, Michael Stone was in the lineup for Yusuf Alamaki. And then you had Brett Ritchie in the lineup for Dubé. Dylan Dubé. Yeah. So, I mean, those players had an impact.
Like, both Brett of them, Ritchie's, I thought, were, yeah.
Yeah, no, like, you know, those guys, like, they didn't score goals, but I mean, you know, Brett Ritchie's a guy that obviously is a big body, and, you know, he was up on the top line. And, you know, Michael Stone's a guy, he had a couple scoring chances. He's a Winnipegger, so we got to give him a shout out, right? Like, he looked fine, and he's a guy that obviously has been with the Flames organization for a while. So, yeah, like, overall, you know, these two games as a whole, they weren't, you know, beauties. And certainly, you know, tonight's game was a little bit interesting just because it was tied going into the third period. And it looked like the Jets might make it a one goal game there late. Right, Dave? But right. Yeah, I mean, you know, the Jets are 500 on this road trip, right? Like, so, to, you know, the game coming up on Monday is going to be a big one, obviously more so for the Flames. But obviously the Jets don't want to come back to Winnipeg, you know, having lost 4 of 7.
Well, you know, what stood out to me is, you know, that first period, again, no surprise, Calgary was the better team in the first period. We talked about it this morning that they need, I mean, more desperate team usually comes out stronger. And they did, 2-0, you know, and full marks to the Flames for that first period. They deserved that 2-goal lead. But how quickly the Jets tied it up in the second, and I thought were certainly as good, if not better, than the Calgary Flames in the second period. And it's 2-2 going into the third, and the Jets, you know, are have to be feeling pretty good about themselves, that, you know, they're 20 minutes away from potentially, you know, taking the series already, you know, taking the best of the three series, you know, if you win the first two games, you know, and you know, you don't, there's not a lot to analyze about what went wrong with Lauren Brossoit there. It just, you know, sometimes goalies have bad nights, and that was a bad night for him. And this is a guy who's been more solid than not in his time here in Winnipeg as the backup goalie. But you sort of got a glimpse. I mean, you all often hear about people, you know, champing to see more Lauren Brossoit, give him another start, you know, after he has a good game. Well, you sort of got to see tonight why he's a backup goalie in the NHL and why he plays the limited number of games that he does. Because while those goals and while those bad goals can happen to any goalie, and they can even happen to to Connor Hellebuyck, that, you know, reigning Vezina Trophy winner, it's rare. And you saw it tonight from Lauren Brossoit, 2 bad goals. And, you know, you hate to say that is the reason why the Jets lost, but, you know, sometimes it is just that simple, that is the reason why the Jets lost when it's 2-2 after 40, 2 bad goals in the third period, and the Jets couldn't overcome that.
Yeah. And in Brossoit's defense, I'm not sure, I would have to look at the replay again, but I think, you know, Tucker Poolman might have deflected that past Brossoit. Mm-hmm. If you remember,
yeah,
it was a one-on-one situation with Mangiapane. So again, like,
but he's got to make that save. I mean, well, look, I know it got redirected and everything else, but he's got to make that save. He's a professional goaltender and everything else. Never mind the fourth one. Never mind the Sam Bennett goal, which is just a complete brain fart. But you still have to make that third save in that situation, in that time, 2-2 early in the third period against the team in Calgary that is not a confident bunch by any stretch. You have to make that save so you don't give them that hope that they're going to, because all Calgary's thinking starting that third period is, we were up 2-0 and the Jets tied it up very quickly, and now it's 2-2, and oh my gosh, what happens if the Jets get the next goal? Our season is basically done. So it's incumbent on Brossoit to, and I don't mean to kill him here, I really don't, but it's incumbent on him to not let that third goal in, deflection notwithstanding. It's still a bad goal in my books.
Well, they're both bad goals. Like,
yeah,
you know, the Bennett goal was worse in my opinion, because that's all on Brossoit. And again, we're not picking on him, right? Because he's had a great year and he's been a backup since he came to Winnipeg, right? So we got to talk about Logan Stanley, boys. We haven't even talked about Logan Stanley's first NHL goal. And I don't think anybody in Winnipeg was more happy than either Dave Minuk or Pascal Vincent, who we had on the show today. But what a rocket, like glove side on Big Save Dave. And you know, just great to see, because we've been talking about this on these post-game shows since we started doing them. Like, Logan Stanley's a guy that's been jumping up into the plane more and more. You know, he's been using that big shot, and, you know, he got rewarded. So I think that was just awesome. Even though the Jets don't get the win tonight, you just like to see that, right? Like, I know I've talked to Dave about this off-air before. Seeing a guy score his first NHL goal, or AHL goal for that matter, it's always something special. And you could hear it, right? Especially without any fans in the crowd, boys. You could tell that, you know, Logan Stanley and his teammates were super pumped up for him. So that was awesome. Yeah.
I hope all the kids were in bed and they had their earmuffs on at the very least, because yeah, it was a little bit of a curse word, but a deserving curse word. And you're right, Ezzy, because that is good to see. And, you know, you can't help root for a guy like that who's been the subject of so much, you know, the word bust and the criticism. Yep. And everything else. And, you know, anybody who gets a chance in the NHL, what do you always want? You know, if you get even if it's a cup of coffee in the NHL, you want them to be able to get that goal so they can go home and they can say to their kids and eventually their grandkids, hey, look, sonny boy, or, you know, look, granddaughter of mine, I got a goal in the NHL. So good for Logan Stanley in that capacity. And look, he's been certainly solid for the Winnipeg Jets on the back end since he's joined the lineup. And, you know, if nothing else changes on the Jets' back end, in my books, he certainly should be playing over Nathan Beaulieu for the rest of the year, Dave.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that from us. Again, we don't ultimately make the decision, so it doesn't really matter what we say. But, I mean, I don't think there's any question that Logan Stanley has made a sufficient case for himself to remain in the lineup. I mean, I think it's so fortuitous that we happen to have Pascal Vincent on, his head coach with the Manitoba Moose, this morning on the show. And, you know, I mean, his line today was hilarious about Amazon and you know, everybody expects 24-hour delivery. And in terms of Logan Stanley's development, I thought that was classic Pascal Vincent, speak. And I was joking with some of the Moose people after who had heard that, you know, I said, that one's going to have some play. And it's true, right? Like, I mean, it's a good line in terms of development. He can see that. And that's one thing that he understands with these guys. And that's one thing people have to understand. Like, you know, Paul Maurice can say, we don't listen, we don't pay attention, but these guys know how to keep that out of the purview, really, of the players. Now, it doesn't mean the players aren't hearing it, but I'm just saying, like, it doesn't really make an impact on them. You know, they're not saying, oh, well, everybody thinks you're a bust, so I'm giving up on you. And that's kind of what Pascal Vincent conveyed to us in his words to me. At least that's what I thought from what he was saying to us on the show this morning, was just this idea that, you know, they had faith in what this guy's path was. And again, I've talked to Logan Stanley casually, like, you know, when we're around the rink when he was with the Moose. And he said to me, I mean, I was doing a one-on-one with him. It was last year, I think, or the year before. And he just said, I have faith in this organization, and I have faith as to what their plan for me is. And he goes, I'm not, you know, I don't remember it verbatim, but he essentially said, like, I am not going to panic based on, you know, not being in the NHL tomorrow. And you see that, right? And like I said, I think that's the one thing that was conveyed. So, yeah, I mean, good for him. Good for him to get his first goal. You know, it's funny. Oftentimes we say for guys who get their first goals, well, that's not necessarily the one you wanted to score. Well, that's pretty much the one you're going to want to score, because it was a beauty and it'll be a memorable one. But, and he was on, and I saw some of the quotes on Twitter just saying, like, you know, he's paid to keep the puck out of the back of the Jets net, but it does feel pretty good for him to have gotten his first NHL goal.
Yeah, and exactly right. And so that's why it's so exciting for Logan Stanley. Everybody's happy for him. You could see the reaction on the bench. Everybody was happy with him because he'd come close the last few games since he'd sort of become a regular on the Jets defense. He's come close. And you know, if there's one thing you can say about Logan Stanley, and this is probably the reason why he's got some good Corsi numbers, is he's not afraid to shoot the puck. He's not afraid to throw that puck on net. And I think it was the last game he hit a crossbar, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was even two games ago at this point in time. They've been blending together. There's been a lot of hockey this week. I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but there's been a lot of hockey this week.
Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy. And only one more 9 o'clock start, boys, before we go back to the traditional 7 o'clock starts. And Drew, just, you know, listening to you talking about Logan Stanley here, I don't think it's ridiculous to put the notion of Stanley playing the power play on the second power play unit. Like, wow. I'm not saying that, you know, Paul Maurice is going to put Stanley on the second power play unit. I'm just saying, when you look at, you know, the Jets defensemen and who they can put out there, because we know they go with, you know, one defenseman, four forwards. Sure. After Morrissey and Pionk, you know, as it stands right now, I'd say Stanley would be the next guy. And, like, he can move. Like, again, I shouldn't be taking over, you know, the Logan Stanley, you know, scouting department, because that's obviously Dave Minuk's department. But, I mean, Dave knows this. Like, the guy can move. Like, Logan Stanley is you know, somewhat like Tyler Myers in the sense that, like, he's got hands and the offensive, you know, wherewithal for a big man. Like, I'm not saying that they're exactly the type of defenseman, because obviously Stanley's a more physical defenseman, you know, than Tyler Myers. But all I'm saying is, like, he's a guy that you could put out on the power play and he can do things. So, you know, I think it's, you know, realistic to start talking about that. Like, this guy isn't, even though he's a third pairing defenseman right now, and he projects as a third pairing defenseman, he can do a lot more than just be a third pairing defenseman.
You're saying he's got some untapped offensive upside, and
he's only 22 years old. Like, you know, his career is just getting started here with the Jets.
And that's one of the things that Kevin Bieksa said, right, in terms of during the intermission. And he essentially said that, you know, that's what you do to earn the coach's trust, because at the end of the day, you know, while he may have Pascal Vincent's trust, you have to earn Paul Maurice's trust. So I think that's one of the things that, you know, he talked about, was that progression, that idea of eventually you work your way towards those things. And all the things that he's doing seems to be, again, to your point, is he earning him more and more responsibility within this team.
I agree with Paul Audette on the I was just going to say Paul Audette. I agree. Andrew Kopp should have shot that one on the 2-on-1.
That's true. Yes, definitely was a bit of a, not a turning point, but something that that was a shorthanded 2-on-1, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
With Nate Thompson. Andrew Kopp, you can be selfish in that.
Read the comment. Come on, Drew. It's a shorthanded attempt.
Sorry, let's get going here. It's got a lot going on. Paul Maurice is up at the microphone. So let's get to the Jets head coach.
No, I didn't mind our game. I mean, I liked a big chunk of that first period. You know, they're going to come in with a real heavy push, and I think they did, but I thought we handled it really well. First one's a little greasy, got a bad break on the second, and then kind of answered when we came back into the second period. A couple unusual bounds in the third, and that's it.
We'll go back to Ken Weaver from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weaver.
Knowing how hard he's worked, what was it like for you to see Logan Stanley score his first NHL?
Yeah, you know what? He's been so close. He's had a couple of bars, and he's had a bunch of great shots, but really enjoyed watching his confidence grow and the quality of his game. It's not a lot of big men that can go bar down like that. So we think we've got a good find here, and really happy with where he's at.
We'll go next to Ted Wyman from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Ted.
Well, you mentioned unfortunate bounces in the third. Is that what you say to Laurent Brossoit after that game, with the way that went?
Yeah, you know what? You learn over time. These guys are really proud professional athletes, and you wouldn't say anything to anybody after a game. You'd wait. Slap them in the pads the next time you're on the ice and have a chuckle about it and move on.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Short and sweet from the Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice earlier when he addressed the media. Dave, still can't make it back in time, eh?
Nope.
It's just not a possibility.
I love seeing Dave M. dart back into the shot.
I want to know where you go. It's midnight now. I want to know where you went. Like, where did you go that you had to?
I'm a wanderer.
Is there a lot going on?
Drew, I was doing my artwork, illegalcurve.com.
Is that what's on that whiteboard there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, if I squint, maybe I can make that out. But there you go. You know, legalcurve.com for all your latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio.
By the way, can we talk? Sorry, I don't even. Especially a plug of legalcurve.com. I don't want to interrupt, but was that the shortest? Was that the shortest Paul Maurice interview of all time? I mean, Weber asked two, and
pretty short.
And Teddy and Teddy asked one, and
that was it. I get the impression that maybe everybody's just sick of each other. It's been a long week. There's been a lot of hockey. They have to play again on Monday. All these games have been late night games.
Let me tell you something. I'm very happy that we have a break tomorrow.
Although there's a Moose, there is a Moose game at 2 o'clock. But.
Well, that's up to you to cover that Moose game, and that's because you're a trooper. Now I'm telling you guys both this: if either of you even consider texting me tomorrow, that text is not getting responded to. No chance in hell am I responding to a text from either of you tomorrow.
Joe, we never text you. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm like, that's true. Come on. I'll text Ezzy. Ezzy'll text me.
This is my plea.
Call you or send you an email, but no text.
This is my plea to actually get a text from you guys. I'm so lonely without you is basically what it comes down to.
When we spend this much time together and not enough time with our significant others, there's going to be trouble. Let's just say that there's going to be some visits to Thermea in our future. Like together.
Together?
Yeah, like the three of us or you and your wife?
That would actually be the best. Like we do our next show. We're all in robes at Thermea Spa.
Let's fire up the hammam, boys.
You know what? The question.
Although I keep forgetting now we're on TV, so no, I'm not so sure people are going to want to see the three of us in robes. So
nobody wants to see us in robes. No. You're
a robe guy.
Like, I'm really not. Laura won't let me buy one. I've asked her if I could buy one before. She says absolutely not, because I know you're never going to take it off. And she's not wrong about that, let me tell you. Question, do we take naps on a day like this? I do not. I did not. I have a couple of young kids. They had me up and moving as soon as we signed off at around 11:30 this morning. Ezzy, did you get a nap in?
I tried to nap, but the problem is my daughter likes to sleep in our room. So I couldn't even nap if I wanted to, because I would have to nap on the couch or something like that. I'm not a good couch napper. Like, I need to be in Kingy. That's what I call my bed.
Boy. God almighty. Dave,
I will say I do actually enjoy a good nap, especially on Saturdays, hockey season. You know, it's not a bad thing. But unfortunately, I was busy working on something called illegalcurve.com, getting the postgame podcast up, hold on one second.
I'm pretty sure Dave hasn't slept in 3 days.
Yeah, getting the pregame report up, getting the afternoon links up, getting Paul Maurice's pregame availability up, getting the postgame ready to go. Come on, people. No time for sleep.
All righty. Let's look ahead to Monday night's contest, because obviously this three-game series is going to be decided on Monday night. One win each for the Jets and for the Flames so far. You know, the Jets are still in second place, because Edmonton only got 1 point against Toronto tonight. Blew a lead 3-1. They had a late lead and they blew it, and they lose in overtime. So the Jets are now 2 points behind the Leafs. They're a point ahead of the Oilers. The Leafs have a game in hand on the Jets now. The Jets are 9 points up on the Calgary Flames. How important is Monday's game, the rubber match of this three-game series?
It's big. And I mentioned this. I mean, it's big in the sense that, the Jets, we talked about it, right? Like, this has been a roller coaster of a road trip, right? Like, it started off poorly. I'm not talking about the way they played. I'm just talking about points. And Dave always mentioned this. Yeah. Like, at this point in the season, it's all about getting points, no matter how you get them, right? Like, I realize, we like to, analyze each game individually, independently. But really, like, you're just getting points here. And some of the time, when you're on a road trip, they're ugly. And the Jets, lost those first two games. They beat Vancouver twice, beat Calgary once. So you don't want to go back home having lost 4 of 7, because that's not a successful road trip. I mean, I don't know how you would think that was a successful road trip. And obviously, you'd like to win 5 or 6 of these games here, but it's obviously more important for Calgary. And I said this morning, boys, I still don't think Calgary's making the playoffs, even if they win, on Monday night. I think it's too little too late for them. But yeah, it's important. Considering that, the Jets just didn't get a single point, and going into that third period, you're thinking, there's a good chance the Jets can at least get a point and possibly, win this game outright. So, we'll see what happens. But I mean, I wouldn't count the Jets out. We know that, they typically bounce back pretty good this year, and they've only lost twice in regulation. Lost two in a row in regulation once. So, yes. I mean, yeah, this is important. And you know that Calgary is going to be desperate again. And we'll see what happens, but you've got a fresh Connor Hellebuck back in the lineup. We'll see if there's any lineup changes, because as Dave mentioned, it's the seventh game of a road trip, and we talked about this prior to the road trip starting. We said, like, if Jansen Harkins or if Ville Heinola is going to come into the lineup, it's going to be later in the road trip. And don't get me wrong, I'm not predicting that, because as we've talked about, the Jets have gone with the same lineup for what, 9 games in a row now. So I certainly wouldn't expect Ville Heinola to go in the lineup. I wouldn't have a problem with him going in the lineup. But if anything, you're probably putting a guy like Harkins in. But If I had to put money on it, I'd probably say that Maurice is going to go with the same lineup because he just continues to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a, again, we've seen what the organization has done in terms of allowing their guys to get rest and recovery time. And tomorrow, and it will, again, is another example of that when they have the day off. And these guys should be fresh for Monday. And look, Connor Hellebuyck is going to be ready to go. He's had a few days off now, so he'll be, you know, raring to go. And he knows, to your point, Ezzy, look, do I think it's a desperation game? That's why my response to Drew is no, because the Jets, while obviously loving to bank the points, aren't in a position where they're going to be like, oh no, Calgary's now only 7 points back. But I mean, at the same time, you don't want to give Calgary that sort of wiggle room, right?
That's right.
And while, again, because these are 4-point games, it's a little bit more difficult to kind of give yourself that spacing sometimes. And so to the Jets, I think, especially with Connor Hellebuyck, you want to end the road trip, especially because of the way you started it. You don't want to kind of end it with a 2-game losing streak, especially regulation, that sort of idea. So to me, you really, you know, want to, and how many are they home for now? I can't even remember. Like
they are home for 4. They have Toronto twice and Vancouver twice.
Right. So, I mean, look, we don't think that they're looking past this and already looking at what's coming up ahead. We are, they aren't, but I just think this is an opportunity to kind of end things. And look, guys, at the end of the day, Calgary had to win this game. If Calgary didn't win this game, what would that have said? Their coach essentially called them out, not essentially, called them out in the post game from last night. And if you don't, as a team, respond, I don't know what that even says about you. And the crazy part is, look, I think Calgary played overall a better game, but we all expected Calgary to come out and play a better game, not because their Jets are more tired or the Flames are more tired, but simply because Calgary have lost 4 games in a row. And if you lose tonight and you're now 13 points back of the Winnipeg Jets, and what would that have put them? That would have made them, well, I guess they'd still be 3 points back of, or 4 points back of Montreal, but with 5 more games played.
Yeah.
I mean, your season's done. And so you had a Calgary team that was desperate. They had Lauren Brossoit, who wasn't on his game. I mean, and Paul Maurice in his post game said, you don't need to say anything to him because, you know, you pat him on the back and just let him go to the next one. He knows what went wrong. So it wasn't his night. You had a Calgary team that was absolutely desperate, and you had a Jets team that wasn't firing. I mean, again, sometimes games are complicated. Tonight's game wasn't very complicated.
You know, and I wanted to throw this in. I'm not sure this is completely not related to the Jets, even though, you know, Tucker Pullman did play for UND and he hit the post. I don't know if you guys are following what's happening between UND and Minnesota Duluth. It's now in the 4th overtime. Our buddy Brad Elliott Schlossman just tweeted this 5 minutes ago. We might have to have him on, you know, Saturday's show. It's now the longest game in NCAA hockey history. Minnesota Duluth has actually changed their goalie in the 4th overtime.
Because their goalie, the starting goalie, who's been playing about 7 periods, is cramping up. So he's, I assume, gone for an IV. But hell of a time to have to change your goalie. And our friend Leah Hextall is actually broadcasting that game. She's on the play-by-play call of that broadcast. Which
maybe we'll have to have Leah on then.
As far as I know, is not available anywhere in Canada. Maybe it's available streaming somewhere. I mean, illegally for sure you can get it. I'm not sure if it's legally streaming anywhere, and you can find it out on your own, because I'm not about to give a plug to the place where you would probably go.
We're not advocating that, Drew.
No, we're not. And no advocation of that front whatsoever. But a really fascinating game going on in the NCAA regionals right now. The winner will go to the Frozen Four. So that's why that game is so important.
With a Jets draft pick, Harrison Blaisdell is playing on UND. And that's right. I believe they'll be going up against who would they go up against? Would it be Minnesota State?
They haven't won yet, Dave.
No, but I'm saying if they were to win, there's nobody from UMD on, like, no Jets prospects on UMD. But Nathan Smith is playing for University of Minnesota Mankato, which won today. And I think he had a goal in the 3rd period.
Well, there you have it. So if prospect you're watching, if you want some more hockey, want to watch more hockey, that game is still going on. If you want more hockey talk, by virtue of the post game show, our buddies Kenny and Rennie, Ken Weeb, Sean Reynolds, they're starting their post game show right now. So on that note,
go watch Kenny and Rennie.
Yes, but before you do, you must smash that like button.
Well, we want the subscribe button. You got to be subscribing, because one thing that we've noticed with YouTube, I mean, I watch a lot of YouTube myself. they always say, how many people watch the videos versus are subscribing? Well, we need subscribers. So you like it. That's important. You subscribe. That's also important. Make sure your reminders are on. That's also important.
And then you smash it.
Then you smash it.
And on that note, thank you to everybody who's joined us in the chat window. It has been a crazy busy 24 hours between last
night's
post-game
show, shout out to Baby Yoda,
this morning's Legal Curve Hockey Show, and tonight's post-game show. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. We'll see you Monday night at around 11:30 or so for the post-game show of the rubber match between the Jets and the Flames. Until then, we wish you good night and good luck.